Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, again, always, always privileged, always, always awesome, help us to understand your wonderful person and presence. You have given us your word that we might understand you, honor you, and look to you to be all that you are to us, in us, through us, around us. And our God, we thank you. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. Father, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, you would recall the Lord being on the other side of the Jordan within a 2 or 3, 4 or 5 months, no more, to go to the cross. He's going to cross Jordan back where they're waiting to kill him. And the disciples are all concerned because Lazarus has died, and Mary and Martha sent a message to him of that he was very sick. And of course, in the process of being very sick, he was very sick because he died. And he died. Now they're going to, he waits 2 days, 2 more days. And so now they're going to cross the Jordan over to Bethany, and in the process of going so, in going there, they're going to go. And the Lord, verse 15, we shared together, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent, purpose, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So the Lord delayed purposely for the disciples that were with him, and they're waiting and waiting, and they're going to learn. And in the process of learning, they are going to have to follow him. So now he tells them, after waiting 2 more days, that they're going to cross the Jordan. And in the process, we share together that Thomas, verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, which means twin, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So now they didn't want him to go in the first place because they're waiting to kill him. Now he told them that Lazarus was asleep. And as far as they're concerned, as we read in verse 13 in that, they said, well, if he's sleeping and he's going to wake up, that's very good. We don't need to cross the Jordan. We'll stay right here. Then he makes it so that it looks, that's what they're thinking. And now they're going to go across the Jordan. And Thomas has determined in his loyalty, in his commitment, he's going to go and cross the Jordan, and he encourages all 11 others, etc., to follow him over there. And what are they going to do? What is their thinking? What is his thinking? They're going to go over there, and the Jewish leaders are going to go and get the Lord and perhaps get them, and he's going to die. They're going to kill him. And they may even kill us, and therefore, the end of verse 16, we're going to die with him. We might as well die with him. And we share together with that, remembering it doesn't matter. Thomas said it doesn't matter. In other words, we've given our whole life to the best man who ever lived, the Messiah, the Christ, and he's going to die. They didn't understand that. He's going to die. And thus, what else could you do with your life? Now, we're going to go over there, and we share together. that as far as Thomas goes and the Jews, disciples, what is over there? Nothing but persecution and death. And the Jewish people, the community, the leadership, are they interested in any of the wonderful truths? Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7, and all of those wonderful things. Are they interested in anything that our Lord tried to help them understand? With all the healings and all the food and everything, did they, where are they? They're still unbelieving, and they're going to crucify him. So what we did, as far as everything we did, we gave ourselves to it. And in going forward, everything that we look to happen is useless. It's for nothing. But no matter, at least we're going and we're doing it with a person who does matter. And even though we have no way to see any good come out of this, let's go. And they go. Now, and there they are going across, and here they are, they're seeing. So what are we looking at in our world? We have a global situation, active global situation. We have a very active national situation and local situation. And here we are, and we're going forward, and family, friends, children, we're going forward. And but if you're looking for some wonderful recovery of the Declaration of the Constitution, if you're looking for some wonderful return to the good old days, as you perceive them, that isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we keep going anyway, of all the things we could do, Catholic, cults, communism, Christian. So we'll stay with big Christians, and at least we're going to go in the right thing and die, at least we did in the right direction. And all of that, and so here's the world, and here we are going down the corridor. Here's Thomas and the disciples crossing, and all of that. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, as they go. So now, in the light of that, and I think of all the dear people that have given themselves to books and writings in these days, trying to explain and explore and expose the great problems that exist and don't seem to ever get fixed. I wonder what they do. If you didn't know the Lord as your Savior, where would you be? Is there any hope of recovery? Really? No. But we're going to stick with it. We're going to keep doing it. We ought to keep doing it. And that's what they're doing. Hang on to that. That's very hard. Very hard. If you didn't know the Lord as your Savior, and you thought right, and tried to come out right, and wanted the country where it should be, boy, that's pretty heartbreaking. But no matter. No matter, we'll keep going. So now, having said that a little bit, keeping in mind, thus, chapter 11, verse 17. And remember now, there are 12 hours in the day. The Lord gave him help in understanding why it was all easy and all going to stay in the will of God. And the Lord isn't going to get killed until it's time, etc. And we shared all that together. So in the outworking of it, and our Lord would say as we looked at, don't be offended in how or what I do or when I do it. Don't get hung up and trying to put things together prematurely without understanding them. And you got to have the pieces. There's no question about that. So now, chapter 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, crossing the Jordan, to Bethany, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So he was already dead when they came, basically. So he already had died when they said he was very sick, but they wouldn't know that. So now there he is, he's dead. Now, so I'm going to be Thomas a little bit, like you, and I are Thomases. And so what have we got? Well, we're crossing over. What did we know? Well, Thomas, what did you know? Well, and remember he said in verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, because they didn't get the message. Lazarus is dead. So before they cross the Jordan, Lazarus is dead. So what are we doing? We're going to go across the Jordan to Mary and Martha. Lazarus has already been buried, The funeral days are in the middle of the end of the funeral. So we missed the funeral, we missed everything, and here we are going across, and they're all mourning, and what are we going to do over there, and why are we going under these conditions? Very stressful, distressful, there they are. Now, and thus, verse 18, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs long. Now a furlong, if you're interested, is 606 3/4 feet. Exactly. 606 3/4 feet. I know you're all excited. Now when you multiply that by 15, it comes out to 1.72 miles. So they went. Bethany is from Jerusalem, 1.72 miles. So if you went up out the Eastern Gate and up the hill, up the down row, it's 1.72 miles, not very far, almost to the end of East Street. Now, and thus, and many of the Jews, verse 18, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They came in order to comfort them. So they're going to come now in order to comfort, to encourage, console them. That's what they're there for. So now, so here we are going. I want to be looking at it realistically here because I want to benefit, I hope. So here are the disciples, and they're walking into the shadow of death, to death itself. Death is the king of all fears, its power, its possession, its keeping from having what life? What are you after, Lord, for us humans? You're after us having life. We're all dead in trespasses and sin. We don't have any life. We're in the land of darkness, a world of darkness, under the rulers of darkness, in death. God, death, it's power. It's power. How powerful is it? Well, if you just think of someone who passes on, just going to the cemetery, and go to the cemetery and look, go even if they go to the funeral parlor where you can see them laid out, and you can go see them. And think how utterly powerless we are to do one thing. Utterly powerless. To dress him up, put a flower. But that's it. We're powerless. Death is the king. Death, all phobias back to death. Now, is the root of it all, as it were. Now, so in the light of that, what are we doing? We're going to go and extend, all we can do, extend our heartfelt sympathy and support. At what cost? Terrible cost. But here we are going across. And in there, remember now, in the process, they are not encouraged. There's nothing to be encouraged about, Thomas, Peter, James, and John. There's nothing for you guys to be encouraged about at all. It's a funeral. The burial in the land was very, very quick in one day. Climate, because of the climate, the dryness of the climate, and thus the simple, quick spices and ointment and simple clothing and burial, very quick. So the day he died, 4 days ago, they buried him. He's been buried. Now, and keeping in mind that he had probably, no doubt, a simple linen robe. And he had a simple linen robe because Rabbi Gamaliel II, back then, and then continued it, and the Jewish continued what? Well, what you do is you put a simple linen robe on so that everyone is equal. No one is the king, simple linen robe. Everyone in the light, to have everyone have a simple linen robe. So you're going to bury them in the simplest linen garment. And Jews today, still maybe, go drink a cup to Rabbi Gamaliel II, because they're going to dress the body in a linen dress, and they call that, quote-unquote, the traveler's dress. The traveler's dress, linen garment. So it'll save your suit when you die and give it to somebody else. Just get a linen garment. Now, so in the process of that, so here they are going, and they're going to go, and Mary and Martha would have had the procession down to the tomb. And in going to the tomb, they would go, and the women would be first in the line, because Eve first sinned and brings death. And Eve, the woman, leads the women. Women lead the men, lead the mourners to the tomb. And the deep mourning process lasts 7 days, 3 days of weeping. The last four days, they could not put on their, forbidden to put on their shoes. They couldn't study, couldn't do any business. They couldn't wash, couldn't do it, all 7 days. They're mourning. So here they are mourning, and they're that. And so they missed all, Peter, James, Thomas, and them, you guys missed all this. That's, you didn't miss the mourning part, but you missed the funeral itself. So here they are. Now, and they came, and the people came, verse 19, to comfort them, to come near, to comfort, to support, to speak personally with anyone, to console, to comfort, to encourage. That's what they did. So there's there's your picture. Now, here they are coming, and in the process, verse 19, many of the Jews came, as we shared together. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now, here they are going to bring support, sympathy, etc. And they're going to come in sadness and fear of what's going to happen. And thus, they want to come. Now, the people that are there are trying to comfort and sympathy, give sympathy, and understanding that. So in the light of that, I'm going to be Thomas, and here's the disciples, and here's the mourners, the Jewish people. Many of the priests, etc., lived in Bethany, that were in the temple, lived there. So here's all these friends and people there, and they're there, and they're mourning and doing the mourning thing, and weeping and sobbing, lamenting, whatever. And they're doing that. So they came. Now, what do you do? What are you going to do? Are you going to become part of them? Are any of them happy? No, not that we know of. They normally wouldn't be happy. They wouldn't be happy. They have no reason to be happy. They've just gone through a loss, etc. And it's a time of darkness. We don't have any answers. It's all over. Nothing we can do. Clothe the body and put spices and bury it. And you'll notice, please, in verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. So what did they do? They had put Lazarus in a tomb with a stone in front, just like they're going to put the Lord in a tomb with a stone. They have Lazarus in a tomb, and there's a stone in front so you can't get in, blocking the entrance. So now my question that I'm going to ask myself is, what do you do with people when they lose a loved one and have such situation? How do you support them? How do you give them sympathy? What sympathy are we going to give them? We can't do anything. No matter what we think, we could say all kinds of things and try to encourage stuff. But when it's all done, we don't have one shred of anything we can put a thing on factually forever. Because the reality of it is all gone from us. The person has passed on. So now, my question then, in the light of this time of loss and darkness, what do I need to know in order to be, so I don't get caught up in the mayhem, in the movement of mourning and fear and all of that, that comes when people pass on. When we go from, what are we doing in our world? We're going into a world of getting darker and deadlier and more difficult and dangerous. No question, that's where we're headed. And boy, how are you going to be encouraged? Now, remember death. Death is the result of sin. And you don't have to turn there, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what are we up? We're up against what? We're up against the reality of death. No question about it. We're living, we're dust. We came from the dust, we are dust, we go back to dust. Wow, there's no question. Now, also, keep that in mind, so it's not a strange thing. Death is just, we're there. We're all there, people that aren't saved, they're all dead spiritually, and all they need to do is die physically. That's all, finish it. Finish it off. That's what they are. So what's new? Nothing's new. We just have to see it. Death is already there. We're living in it. We're watching it. And the reality of our death at the moment is in the grave with people that lay there. So you don't have to say, well, I'm not dead. Hold it. That's where you're headed, to that grave. Dead. Why are you dead? There. Because you're dead here. Now, secondly, God in His wonderful, wonderful grace has given us a body. And the body is used temporarily and is meant to only be for time. That's all. So all the body that we live in, it has to go back to the ground where it came from. That's where it belongs. And over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And picking up, if I can, just quickly to get a little bit of refreshment on this whole thing so we don't lose it. One of the things I notice with things, people have questions, just share something, and then they have a question, and then they have another question. That's because they are missing something, a piece, and they need the extra piece. They don't. If they have the piece, then you don't connect the thing because your piece is not matching the rest of it. So you have to have that. So God, here we are, people get all kinds of hang-ups and everything about stuff, and they don't have the pieces. The world may not have them, but boy, we need to have them. How am I going to be a comfort, encouragement? I got some silly thing about how things die, people die, I don't know why, I don't know when, I don't know where they're going, etc., etc. So now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 5. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, physical, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So God, what? We're in a body. It's flesh and blood. That's all it is. You shed it every day. You're shedding your skin. You're shedding all your cells. You get rid of it. Every 7 years, I guess. I don't know how you count. Every 7 years, you get a whole new body from head to toe. There's nothing old in you. How's that? So if you're 70 years old, you've got 10 bodies somewhere. Which body are you going to use? You see. Wow. That's who we are. That's a reality. Oh. But God, it isn't about the body. No, it isn't about the body. It's about the person inside the body. So therefore, the person needs to be saved. And the God of all earth, the Lord Jesus said in John 8 and 24, I'll turn there, John 8 and 24. He makes it simple, clear. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, not because of your sins, in your sins. You didn't. I took care of them. You will die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you should die in your sins. I already paid the price for sin. But you're going to die as a sinner when you could have been saved and been a saint. Wow. So now, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis 18 and etc., 25. Sure he does. God isn't going to do any wrong. No wrong at all. Over with me, please. Over with me, please, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel and 18. Now, God, help us some more. In Ezekiel chapter 18, picking up if I can, remember in verse 4, all, behold, all souls, all persons are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. So now, God, every person is accountable to God. No one can stand in their place. No one can answer for them. They have to answer for themselves, to God, personally. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Absolutely. Now, in Ezekiel, God, what else do we know about you? Over in chapter 18, verse 23, in this whole lovely section, verse 23, 18 and 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? God, you don't want anyone to die in their sins. No, I died for all of them so they wouldn't die in their sins. I did that. Verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. I am not no pleasure in the death of he person that dies. I don't have any. Not have any. And in chapter 18, while you're here, over if you would please to verse 25. Because one of the problems they were having about death and God and judgment, chapter 18, verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. The way of the Lord is not equal. The word equal is to regulate by weight, by measure, by rule, by examination. God, yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. Good, fair, equal, just, right. You say God isn't fair, God isn't right, God isn't reasonable. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal, fair? Are not your ways unequal, unfair? So the world, we accuse God, who's in charge, we accuse God, why God did this and God allowed that, and what about God? And then we try to get God out of the picture, which the world has done. Why? What good did it do to go against God? Anywhere. How did you stop God? What did you do to hit him? You don't hit him. You don't touch him. Yet God is God. And we're little dots. So what do? Well, we get rid of God and have something else, idols and religion. Now, in the light of that, remember, you got that? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So, God, that's the first thing we know. That here's the funeral. If Lazarus is unsaved, I have no pleasure in his death. He's going to die. The wages of sin is death. But I have no pleasure in that fellow dying. I have no pleasure in anyone dying. Why? I've died for them. I paid a price for them to get saved. Huh. Now, over to Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, picking up, if I may, just to add to it, 115, Psalm, verse 15, directly. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So God is pleased, not sad. He's pleased when believers die. So he's pleased. So that's what you want to know. Well, why should you be sad? God isn't sad. God isn't sad at all. He's pleased when they die. The wicked, has no pleasure in that. No pleasure. Nope. So God, I want to know. I'm trying to help and comfort people in the world. And God, I need to understand these things so that I don't offer something that is not right. You know, God loves them. Well, God loved everybody. You can say, I've heard it said at funerals. God loves them and there. If he isn't saved, God loves him, doesn't God loving him wanted him to get saved. He isn't saved. He isn't going to get there. God has no pleasure in that. You ever hear that at a funeral? Ever hear that? God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Wow. Wow. So God, here we are, trying to be real, get a hold of it, and in the light of that, over if you would please, in the light, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You're not far away. So God, we're looking, we want to be. Thomas, you guys are all missing what? You're missing this stuff. Thomas, Peter, James, John, you don't have it. It's there for you, but you aren't putting it together. And you're all afraid. And people are mourning and groaning, and that's what they do. They do it to some time very much so. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now, we remember, a good name is better, verse 1, than precious ointment, and the day of death to the day of one's birth. Okay, now put that together. Here you are, you've all been born, basically. You don't remember your birthday, do you, when you were born? The day of your death is better than the day of your birth. The day of your death is better than the day that you were born. Yeah. You get that? Wow. Because you couldn't have any hope of, if you were never born physically, you could never be born spiritually. Wow. Verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. They're going to take heed and understand. So to the degree and measure we can help anyone understand this, you want to understand it. How are you going to understand, help people realistically? You're going to go and there, and I think of the death of my father and mother and that, and my sister, and I relax. My sister was sort of a silly person anyway, she was, and we here's all the people with all the funeral and that, and we were just sort of relaxed, having a little fun in the midst of it all, and we did that. You know, we had to be careful, because here we are both enjoying something, and it's a funeral, so we have to be a funeral. Have to look funeralish. So therefore, we did it, you know. Why? Because we're free. Did the others understand it? No. But we did. We were free. Wow. So the house of mourning, And sorrow is better than laughter, verse 3. For by the sadness of countenance, the heart is made better. Why don't we have a sad hour? Do you notice places have happy hours? Happy hours. Right? Happy hours. Why don't we have a sad hour? I think a sad hour is much more profitable than a happy hour. They don't have any sad hours. No sad hours. All happy hours. And all happy to go sit in a setting that usually isn't very good anyway. Wow. I used to, when I worked at Hughes and that, the gang, the bunch of them, they'd all go out Friday night, the big thing to go out and do whatever, you know. They do what they do. And I never got into that hardly at all. I didn't like where they went. It was sort of lousy setting, you know. And it just wasn't nice. I didn't think it was. Anyway, they did all that. And what was so happy about it? What was so nice about it? It looked sort of very traumatizing to me to look at it. It looked horrible. Wow, what do you want to get in that for? Wow. Now, so here, God, the house of mourning, And verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. So God, here we are. Here's Solomon looking at life. And he said, listen, when it's all done with your glory and your grandeur and everything, when you're all done with everything you tried to get, have, be, do, feel, the better the house of mourning, better the day of your death. So God, Thomas, you certainly exhibit going across the Jordan. You guys exhibit this kind of stuff you need to get. God, the Lord Jesus said, I delayed two more days to help you guys. You don't understand. You got all the pieces, you can't put them together. Now, over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. And remember one of the things with people. At times of testing and hard things in their lives, trying to handle them, all kinds of things. Got to have counselors and flowers everywhere and got to do everything and little candles and lights and trying to find some kind of recognition or representation or something. They just don't have a connection. They don't have a connection. And that's sad. But you have to understand, the more you understand, the better you understand, the more you experience the truth, you will be an odd nut. And you have to be careful. Because the world doesn't understand. They don't want to understand. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, as you know. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So God, that it's the power, it's the king, and ultimately phobias, fears, death is our problem. Not falling out of the elevator, it's falling out and dying. That's the problem. Getting lost in the closet with the door shut is suffocation or forgetfulness and die of starvation, etc. So now, God, here we are looking, and wonderfully over, here they are, God, the power of death, so we aren't going to win, and God, we're going to have a way to win. And therefore, Revelation 1, among other things, just to keep a little bit the pieces together, some of them anyway. And in Revelation chapter 1, and picking up, here he is, this shows the resurrected Christ to John in a very super-duper way. And when you pick up in verse 17, and when I saw him, said John, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I control the coming in, and I control the going out. I have them. Don't be afraid, John. Wow. So here's the world. The world seeking to bring comfort, sympathy, support, to feel, to have the sameness. We try to have the same. Over, if you would, please, before I do that, at least get this in. I'm just trying to give you a whole lot of little pieces that go together. You need the pieces. They balance out. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. So here we are. Here's all the world dead in trespasses and sin. Now what did every human being have the right to do? Every human being ever born on planet Earth has the right to be saved. In the days of Noah, only 8 survived. Of all those people, only 8. Few were saved. Only 8 of them. They all could have been saved. God waited 120 years to save them. That much longer. Now, and God, so here we are. I'm just trying. If you seek me with all your heart, you're what? If you seek me, you're going to find me. Acts 17:27. In Athens, what are we going to say? That, to the Athenians. That, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily, so then indeed, they might feel, to grope, to touch, to feel after him and find him, the feeling along your way, you can't see, you're in the dark, you can't do, but you're looking to find the God who created you, and you'll find him, that you might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's right here. How far to get to God? No distance. Your heart. Seek him and you'll find him. That's the rule. So now, having said that, over to 2 Corinthians. So you don't have it. So you never can say, well, God, you don't care. God, you didn't help me. God, they didn't know. They lived in the middle of the swamp in the Everglades. They lived in the middle of the Sahara Desert. They lived in some place and no one ever knows and no one cares. Wrong. God was there. God was in the swamp. God was under the water in the swamp. God knows all about it. So it isn't a question God wasn't there. God said, I am there. And you know I'm God, so I'm not a frog, I'm not an alligator, I'm not a totem pole. I'm God. And when your heart reaches out, because you know that, why? Because you put that in me. So when you put that in us. So God, when I cry out, do you ever think of that with people? Do you ever think of that? Think of all the things, we have dedications and things. And sometime you're there. And they pray. And they say, God bless America. God bless us. They may or may not know him. But you know there's a God. In the foxhole, when everything is overwhelming, and they cry out to God, everyone knows there's God. It's what are you going to do with him? And we hide it, we bury it in our intellect, in our academicness, in our indifference. And we bury it all, and we're just little nothings. Look at you. I know, you're just little, aren't you? You're just flesh and blood. What are you? That's all. Wow. Now, in the light of that, 2 Corinthians, picking up, please. God, what are we going to do? This is a different word of comfort, but it's the word we want. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort and encouragement. God, who's able to come and do that? Well, God, you are the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, expectation, anticipations, that we may be able to comfort, purpose, that God, you're going to comfort us, that we can comfort others, that them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God, you're going to do a wonderful thing in our heart. We're going to go through the trial, the test, count it all joy, fall into various kinds of temptations, testings, and when we do, we're going to find God, you're there, and when we're trusting you, we're going to have the support, the encouragement, the comfort. What for? So that we are able to be educated by experience, by understanding that we're able to go and help people in the world that may come our way, because you've been there. You're there. You know where they are. You know what it is to have a physical body with aches and pain and problems, don't you? And so do they. The difference is you have an access, you have the wonderful access to God to keep you, to take care, to make it work, to work it all out. All things work together for good. The trial, the test. So God, why don't we? So we go through the same thing. But hey, we have a wonderful God and Savior. That's the message. You want to give it to them while they're alive, not when they're dead. You want to show them when they're alive, not when they're dead. You can go, we could all march down to the cemetery down here, and we all sit there and sing to them. It's useless. They're dead. We need to sing to the fire station across the street. Wow. Now, so God, here's the comfort. And we're going to have all kinds of pressure, problems, and what do we know? We know God, Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, that your thoughts and your ways are higher than the heavens. So God, so are we going to put this together all by our lonesome? Never, 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 never. God, it's too wonderfully complicated, wonderfully simple, wonderfully profound. Wow. Pretty neat, I got to tell you. Huh. Now, so God, here we are looking, so your ways and your thoughts, and when we talk about that, over if you would, in closing. You're right here, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So God, the solution is you. So it isn't anything of us and our brain, our brawn, our beauty, our bones, our blood. No, 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 not at all. No, no, God, here we are. You have to keep us, care for us. Uh-huh. Over in closing, Psalm 40. Appreciate your patience. I hope we didn't do a little much, but you got a little bit. You want to encourage people, but you got to understand what you need to know to encourage them, and you don't discourage them in the process and give them a line of baloney that isn't true. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And if you care, you truly care about that person, the dead one, gone. And you may miss them. You care about that person. They're going to know that. Haven't you been through the line and lines and you're shaking hands and every now and then you hit the right person in the right place and they take your hand. They take your hand. Ah. They're connecting. They know you're there. That's what they need to know. You're there. They may not understand any of it, but they know you're there. You're real. All the rest of 100 handshakes, nothing but yours. You're there. Even though you can never give all this, you're real. They need to see that. Thus, Psalm 40, as you know. Psalm 40, wonderfully, God, your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens. Psalm 40, picking up, please. In verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, or nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which, there's your word, thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, your thoughts and your ways are higher. And marvelously, they relate to you, God, you all. His thoughts that are higher than the heavens are about you. And therefore, I don't know any thought of anyone anywhere in all of the world equals his one thought, not as the sand of the sea, just one of them. One thought about you. And we lower him, we keep knocking him down to make him fit our little world. God help us. I hope you got a little bit. Thomas, where would we be if Thomas didn't cross the Jordan? No, Thomas, you had to cross for us so that we would learn this. And God, you waited 2 days to make sure they would have this exercise. And here we are in our period of history, and we're benefiting from the exercise that they had. And God, you're personally here to help us. Thank you very much. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very much for caring, loving. God, you got to take care. God, you got to help us. We don't know how. God, thank you very much. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, make it, settle it clearly in their head and heart. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Could we sing?